So when it comes to spiritual gift of celibacy and marriage, it's interesting because the people that include those in spiritual gifts say it's not so much that God then takes that gift away from someone, like they have the gift of celibacy and they get married and all of a sudden they don't have that gift anymore. It's more that God gives them a special gifting during that time of singleness to remain celibate. That God gifts them the ability to be married and stay married and have a fulfilled marriage. So it's interesting to see the different views that people have on those things. So you, in studying spiritual gifts, may find that marriage and celibacy are included. Most do not, so I didn't include them on that big chart there, but I at least wanted you to be aware. Different ways to categorize the spiritual gifts. I've taken the three most popular ways that people categorize all of the different gifts. And one of the first ways is prophetic, priestly, and kingly, which I think is really cool because then you start tying the Old Testament and the New Testament together, where the prophets had special gifts of teaching, encouraging, exhorting, rebuking in the Old Testament. Now in New Testament, those gifts are bestowed upon all of us as well, and so in a more expanded form. The priestly roles, showing mercy and care for those in need, interceding. You know, if you went to a priest, the priest interceded for you before God. Well, now the Holy Spirit has enabled us as believers to fulfill some of those priestly roles for each other as well. Kingly roles. You had your Nehemiahs, your Daniels, your, you know, that were more governmental, orderly, bringing order into the church. Now you have those gifts and abilities in the body at large. Go God! Like, isn't that cool? You should be really excited. Why am I the only one excited right now? But seriously, think about this. I mean, that's one reason why I really like this categorization of gifts, is because you're really tying the Old and New Testament together, and I'm always looking for ways that brings the whole Bible into one thing instead of this split stuff. You also have knowledge, power, and speech. So knowledge would be the ability to discern different spirits. So there, you will find there are people that walk into a room and go, that person has issues. And they might even be able to say what those issues are. They just know. That's a gift of God to be able to do that. I flowed in that in different times in my life. There have been times that I have walked into villages and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can feel it in my gut that we've got some deep, I don't necessarily know what it is, but I know we've got some huge spiritual warfare that needs to take place before anything's going to happen. There are other times that I walk into a church, and I've had this happen. I've walked into a church, and I have been able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what a personal sin was of the past. Can I tell you, I don't like that. I really hated that gift for that moment. Neither did the pastor. I will just encourage you, if that happens to you, the main reason that God gives that kind of discernment and showing to you is to become a point of prayer first. Don't immediately go up and go, well, you know, God just told me that blah, 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 blah. Make it a point of prayer. Because what ended up happening in the situation where I was in is I discerned that. I began praying about it. It was confirmed. And within 6 months, the pastor removed himself. So God took care of the issue. There are times where God will reveal something to us, will discern something, we pray about it, and then feel that we need to go rebuke and bring teaching to that. And that's fine. But it always starts as a point of prayer. Always, always, always. You also have words of wisdom. You know, when it comes to the gift of words of wisdom, that is very much where someone has a supernatural ability to look into a situation and say, this is the right approach to take in this. And we all know people like that. There are some people that are just naturally wise, and you look at that and you go, they just have good wisdom about them. But then you have those people in your life, they're like, but they're beyond wise. Like, they just have insight that no one else has. That supernatural gift of wisdom in place. Words of knowledge. That would be where someone reads your mail and you certainly haven't shown it to anyone. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where someone just begins praying for you and knows exactly minute details of things that you've been praying for? It's very intimidating. It's very, very awe-inspiring, humbling, and incredibly encouraging. Why would I say it's encouraging? Because it proves that a God that you've been praying to heard you. And it's confirmed through somebody else's mouth that he's heard and he knows and he's aware of what's going on. Some of you in this room have that gift and you don't know it. And it's time for you to start finding out that you can use that gift in people's life because it brings incredible encouragement. It can also bring great conviction upon someone's life. You may be a Nathan to David. You may be that prophetic voice in someone's life that says, you need to get your act together. And here's why I know you need to get your act together. Because as I've been praying for you, the Lord revealed this. Is it true? And 9 times out of 10, if it's true, they'll finally fess up. Because they know that you shouldn't know these things. And they'll fess up. And it's an opportunity to bring them back into reconciliation with their Lord and Savior. It's pretty cool. There's gifts of power. Healing, miracles, and faith. Those are these supernatural signs and wonders that you're like, did that just seriously happen? But they do. And God enables us to help be catalysts of those things. We're not the ones doing the miracle. I am not the one praying. I might be the one praying against a storm, but I'm not the one that moved it. God did. We have seen evidence of that happen. I can't even tell you how many outdoor crusades I've done where I've had to pray over storms to please not hit the crusade grounds. And I mean, these are storms that don't just start as a little cloud and build. They're like just suddenly there. And we were in Uganda, and there was one storm that we saw approaching, and we began praying against it, and it literally split in two, went around the crusade grounds, and as soon as the crusade was done that night, what was it, half an hour? And it started raining, gave everyone a chance to go home. I mean, we see this stuff a lot. So there are definitely powerful gifts that can be used. Speech, tongues. You know, we all kind of know what that is, speaking in a language you don't know. Paul even speaks of if I speak in the language of angels or men, even heavenly languages. Interpretation. There are times when someone will speak out loud a message in tongues and someone else will know what it says. And they don't know it because they know that language. They know it because God gave them the interpretation to give. It is really cool when that stuff happens. I honestly, I've only been used in that gift one time in my life. It was bizarre. It was a total God thing. I've never been used in it since. But I'm open to letting God use me that way, as weird as it was. But here I am listening to this person talking in this language that I had never heard before. And all of a sudden I knew exactly what they were saying. And I said it out on behalf of the church, so that all of us could understand what was being said. It happened, and it's cool. And there are people that are consistent. There are people in this world that God uses consistently in that gift. I belonged to a church once where there was one lady that, man, she was so gifted in that. And how could she be when people would speak in all of these different languages and yet she knew what everyone was saying? Is she just that smart? No, she's godly smart because God gave her the words to say. There's also categorization of ministry, manifestation, and motivational. And this is probably the most popular way of categorizing that you'll see. Ministry reveals the plan of God, and it's more of the vocational kind of gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So would you all look at the little hand that's on there? How many of you are familiar with the fivefold ministry? You've heard of that? Okay, do you know what each of the fingers mean? So the thumb is the apostle. Why is the thumb the apostle? The apostle is a church planter and oftentimes oversees many, many churches. And as a church planter and help establishing churches, they often play the role of prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The apostle touches every other finger of the fivefold ministry. Okay? The prophet, the pointer finger, points to the future, points to God, and points to sin. So that's why they're the pointer finger. The middle finger will not stand on its own because that would be improper in this culture. but they are the evangelists. They stand tall in the crowd, and a lot of times many people are drawn to them. But their role is not to just stand out in the crowd and have a big crowd around them. Their role is to lead people into the church where there are pastors, teachers, prophets, and apostles. To lead them into the body of Christ to be discipled. They are there to serve the local church. Can I tell you, every single church needs evangelists. Every single church needs apostles and prophets. It's funny, every single church seems to have a pastor, but we a lot of times are lacking in the others. So the pastor is the ring finger, married to the church. They are called to stay. They are called to oversee the church, nurture the church. I so appreciate pastors. As one who is called to bounce around the world, I appreciate pastors that are called to stay. Because I would turn into a caged animal. But God has called them to stay, and I love them for it. Then you have the teacher, seemingly small in nature, yet designed to dig into the Word of God and dig into those dark places and bring light and truth. Every church needs the full fivefold ministry operating within to be a healthy church. And I am a firm believer that we have a lot of unhealthy churches right now all over the world because we're lacking in the fullness of the fivefold. We really need them all. So that's where you have your ministry, your more vocational kinds of things. Now, you can still have these gifts and not have it in a vocational sense because, quite honestly, based on my spiritual gifts inventory, I would not be any of these. Now, doesn't that blow your mind? My top spiritual giftings are none of these five, yet I'm in vocational ministry. You all have mixtures of these in your life, but you might not be called to vocational ministry. So they still are operating, okay? You also have manifestations, and these, honestly, these are the things that make people go, cause lots of questions, cause lots of controversy. But regardless of the controversy out there, they are still gifts of the Spirit, and we need to recognize them as such, and we need to honor them in other people's lives and in our own lives when they come to the surface, okay? So in these manifestations, these are what reveal the power of God. They're the supernatural, spiritual stuff, the miracles, the speaking in tongues, the interpretation, the things that God does that we can't wrap our minds around, the healings, the signs and wonders, the gift of faith. You know, there are people that you look at them and they just say, God's got this. And they believe it with every fiber of their being because they have the supernatural gift of faith given by the Holy Spirit that says, God is going to take care of this. I am believing God for this. He will handle it, and he will handle it in the best way possible. You don't need to worry. You know, there are people that I have seen pray for people that are on their deathbed, and they come in and they're like, you're just going to rise out of bed. You just need to stop worrying about it. And all the rest of you who are doubting can just leave because God's got this. And I'll be darned if the person didn't get up within 24 hours and go home. There are people who just hear from God, just believe me and it'll be taken care of. Surround yourself with those kind of people. Seek them out. Especially those of you who waffle and who aren't sure what's going on in a situation, find a person who's gifted in supernatural gift of faith and share with them what's going on because they will believe with you. And when you can't believe yourself, they'll believe for you. We need these kind of people in our lives. We've already talked about words of wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits, so I think we'll be okay there. Motivational. These reveal the personality of God, and these tend to be more practical in nature. These are the ones that have the gift of encouragement, that encourage others, that lift each other up, that just see a need and go handle it for somebody. My mom is unbelievably gifted in helps. I can't tell you how many times I have so many memories of going and dropping food on people's porches and running away. I have seen her come in and she's like, I just saw this person on the street and I happened to find out where they live and they have no clothing. So we would gather up clothing and off we would go. They just see this stuff. They don't need recognition. In fact, they would prefer not to have any. It's very embarrassing when they're outed as having that gift. Yet at the same time, we need to recognize these people and honor them because there's an awful lot of background work that happens from this motivational side. There's an awful lot of people working in this capacity that get absolutely no recognition. And it's not because they necessarily want it, but they need it at the same time because we all need encouragement. We all need confirmation that God is working through us. Amen? So there's two definitions of prophecy. One is very much the telling of the future. One is more of this is what God's word says. So in the watchdog role, the operating in the gift of prophecy in that way is very much the person that's sitting in the pew listening to what the pastor is saying, analyzing it against the word of God, and saying, good, not good. Every church needs those two. Really, really do. Truth be told, a lot of times in their personalities, they're very black and white. Not a lot of room for gray in their world because it's right or it's wrong and there are no other options. Now, here's what's cool with spiritual gifts. We all need to be led by the Lord and every one of us needs our gifts to be chiseled at and tempered and lifted up and burned down and destroyed and lifted up all the time. So those who are incredibly gifted in mercy, I promise you, you are the ones that are going to become the doormats of this world unless you allow the Lord to bring firmness into your life. Those who are prophetic, you will be the hated in this world unless you learn how to operate in love. There's got to be balance within our giftings as well, okay? So I have known people that are extremely gifted in prophecy, extremely gifted in mercy, and they're pretty much the most balanced people I've ever met. Because they are able, with tears coming out of their eyes and begging and pleading with you to get your life right with God. And they'll point your sin out with tears and longing for you to return to the Lord. So we've got to have that kind of, yes, the Lord is going to weight us differently in different areas of our life, but we have also got to allow him to bring the balances back so that we are using our gifts in a correct measure. I find it very, very interesting that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about different gifts of the Spirit. Then there's a break with the love chapter, which is always used at weddings, which I appreciate, but I think it goes deeper than that. You've got this huge listing of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Then it's all about love. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but I have not love, I am nothing but a clanging cymbal, a noisy gong, all of this. And then in chapter 14 goes in to address a problem that the Corinthian church was having. We have a listing of the gifts, the reminder that everything must happen out of love, that love must be our motivation, that honoring God is what this is all about. And now in chapter 14, we're going to deal with correcting an issue where the Corinthian church was actually elevating the gift of tongues above everything else. And so instead, he's saying, all right, here's a list, motivated out of love, bring correction, where we're going to even all of this out now. And so it's just an interesting layout that he does there as you begin to study spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. They're super because God is involved. They're natural because we're involved. I remember my mentor saying that, of something of supernatural, and it just stuck with me. Because pretty much everything we do in our life should be supernatural. It should be God and us working together, go do the task at hand. More often than not, I think we tend to slip into the natural and then get mad at God because it didn't work out. Or you have the flip side where it's like, oh, I'm going to be all spiritual and God will handle everything and I don't have to lift a finger. No, it's supernatural, working together. So spiritual gifts are super because God is involved. They are dispersed by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Does someone have that? Now that word determines is really cool. Some translations use the word wills, as he pleases. There's different ways of doing that. But the actual Greek word of that is in a present sense. So it's not like he just dumped the gifts and walked away. It is a continual pouring and administrating of those gifts. So he may give Joseph a gift of teaching, and he continues to give that gifting of teaching. But he can also continue to bring out mercy. He can give Cindy a gift of helps and continue giving the gift of helps while also continuing to rise up wisdom. So it's not, okay, I'm saved, I have everything, here I go. And the Lord walks back and says, hop to it. That's not it at all. In fact, it's a continual pouring, a continual gifting, a continual rising up, ebb and flow kind of thing, so that we have whatever we need at that moment to minister to each other and to glorify God. Because remember, that's why we have these spiritual gifts. It's not about us, it's about them, and it's about the Lord. Well, and think of the picture that is presented in 1 Corinthians 12 of the body. You have all of these various body parts, but it's still one body. It's the same with our gifts. All of these different spiritual gifts, still given by the one and same Spirit, to create one body that is functioning and working together in the way that it should. And if any gift is lacking, the entire body suffers. If any gift is over-magnified, the entire body suffers. We've got to have all of them working in our midst all the time in a balanced function, right? Unfortunately, I have seen some incredibly out-of-balance churches because they've elevated a gift higher than it needed to be. I've seen churches that are incredibly out of balance because they elevated knowledge more than it needed to be. It's got to be all of it together. No, none of them are elevated above the other. You know, this removes all doubt of pigeonholing. I have encountered people that said, I'm sorry, that's not my gift, so I'm just not going to do that. Well, how do you know that it's not your gift? How do you know that God isn't taking you into a new season of doing something new in your life that is going to bless tons of people and honor him? Who are you to say that you just know? Now, I shared with you that I have not felt incredibly called to nursery duty. I just haven't. But I will, if they're in a real pinch and someone comes to me and says, we have nobody else, will you do it? I will be in there. I will do it. And I have done it. Yes, you saw that that may not be the top 10 gift for you. Okay? It may not be highest on the scale for you. But did it mean that he couldn't do it? Like for me, this will come as a shock to many of you, I know. Administration is my number one gift. All my life, every inventory I've taken, administration and exhortation are always the top two. And almost always tied, which I find interesting. Because, and I think a lot of it now, having done administration and exhorting a lot of people, I think you actually need both in order to be a good administrator. Because if you don't encourage them, they ain't going to hang with you. Thank you. That is so true. We have got to show grace to and give room for God to work differently in different people's lives. Like you said, just because someone's been a children's pastor for the past 20 years and they decide that God is moving them into a different direction, or heaven forbid, they just need a break, we've got to be willing to stand behind them and encourage them and support them and say, go do what God is calling you to do, and keep our eyes open to see who God is rising up. And it may actually be someone that you've never even seen walk into the church before and you don't know anything about. Now, does that mean we elevate them to a leadership position immediately? No, because that's called dangerous and stupid. No, you don't do that. However, you do create the framework to allow them and give them a chance at success in it with oversight and support. And if God is working through them and they're going through the ranks and it's happening, then praise the Lord. You have a new children's pastor. And so what if it took 5 years? We obviously are not going to get through all this today, which is fine. We will continue this on next week. Let me give you a real-time example of that. I was going to save this for next week, but we're going to do it. So, Joseph and I are heading to Cambodia in November, okay? There will be people that will give of their funding to help send us. There are people that are supernaturally gifted, that they set their lifestyles in a way that they can live on as little as possible so that they can give as much of their money away for the kingdom. So, we will be sent by some of those individuals that have that gift of giving. Prior to that, my mom, Gift of Helps, found a pattern for pillowcase dresses. Are these about the cutest things you've ever seen? This is made out of a pillowcase. The Lord led her to call me and said, hey, I found this pattern. Do you have any idea of how I could possibly use anything like this for missions? Well, as a matter of fact, I'm going to Cambodia in November, where we're going to be hanging out with a lot of kids who don't have anything. So she's been sewing her fingers off trying to get these pillowcase dresses done, okay? Gift of Helps. So we've already had the gift of giving, Gift of Helps. Now, the 2 to 3 weeks before we leave, you can plan on utter chaos hitting our household. It's just how the mission's life is. Cars will break down, microwaves will blow up, fighting will occur between at work or whatever. It just happens. Amazingly, there will be people that will send cards, that will call us, that will send us emails, texts, whatever, using the gift of encouragement to help us keep our minds in our heads. And encourage us and say, I'm praying for you for what's coming. There are people with the gift of faith that will stay behind and will pray their guts out, believing that God is going to do amazing, mighty things, and they will pray for and intercede for us. There are administrative people that will take over some of my responsibilities in the office. There are administrative people at his work. There are people that will come and handle things at our house to make sure that all of the details are handled while we're gone. There are even administrative people in the missions world that they will take over someone's personal finances while they're over there long term. I mean, that's the gift in motion. Now, all of that is in preparation and going on while, you know, before we've even landed in Cambodia. Now, I may have a gift of teaching that I'm using or exhorting that I'm using while I'm over there. I may be the one that's on the platform, but Joseph is clicking his fingers off, taking pictures and capturing other things that are happening and helping with all these other details, making sure that everybody has water because he has a gift of service like none I've ever seen. All of this is going on while I'm supposedly the one in the spotlight. How dare I get the glory for what took place? And how dare I minimize any of those other gifts that went into that outreach? We all have got to be working together. There are funerals that take place in this church that if you're the chef in the back room filling plates, you have no idea the impact that you've had on somebody's life and the ministry and the comfort that you've provided someone. Counting pills in the pharmacy when we're doing medical clinics. I've done it, and I thought I was going to lose my mind. It was about the most boring thing I've ever done. All I wanted to do was be out with the villagers. I wanted to hang out with them. That's why I came here. Until I realized, oh my gosh, I have just elevated someone else's job above mine. God has called me here in this country to count pills and provide medicine for people. What is wrong with that? How dare I devalue that calling and that gift? We are really quick to honor those that are on the platform. We are really quick to honor those that are gifted in the supernatural stuff. But how dare we devalue the other gifts that the same Spirit and the same Lord gave other people, and that actually should be operating in your own life.